Steve Goodrich is president and CEO of the Center for Organizational Excellence in Publishing and GovExec under the headline, Cutting Through the Red Tape. It's time to sweat the small stuff. Steve, we've been told for years not to sweat the small stuff. Now we should. What is driving this look at the way that agencies do things operationally and looking at trying to reduce the complexity of it, Steve?
Well, thanks for having me on board here today, Francis. There's a time, as we know, with our government and the need to certainly cut costs wherever we are, and look at throughout the organizations, through programs, through our management structures, and look for efficiencies and effectiveness, because that's the place we're not looking. We're certainly looking at large programs and cutting programs or pulling back on programs, but the systemic nature of managing government we don't historically look at.
You give some examples in this piece, and we'll link to it at federalnewsradio.com/in-depth, that are pretty astonishing. And I think anybody that's worked in government for any period of time or worked as a contractor with a federal agency for any period of time has seen these kinds of examples. Do we have a sense of how this complexity develops to be able to figure out how to root it out, Steve?
Well, I think over time, it sort of becomes also ran in just the way we do things. There's also the issue of political correctness and the need for tremendous oversight, risk adversity in our government. And before that, before long, we create layers and layers of oversight and activity that takes a tremendous amount of time and effort and literally ends up costing us time, energy, and money to get through.
You're right. Agencies are notoriously unfocused on the subtleties of management and bureaucratic system inefficiencies. Does that mean they're just not paying attention, or they haven't had a chance to pay attention, do you think, Steve?
No, I think they don't pay attention. And in a political environment, we have turnover in our leadership. And frankly, you know, they've got a short time to get things done. And they've got a mission to achieve or programs to execute. And therefore, over time, the complexities within the organization, our management structures and how we get things done, just build up and people aren't paying attention to it. They certainly voice frustration over it. The rank and file voice frustration over it, but at one point they just become accepting of it.
You write, it takes courage and focus to abandon age-old procedures, realign resources and functions, place them where they belong, and adjust the organization to maximize productivity. That statement makes sense. I agree with it. Maybe I'd add leadership to the courage and focus, Steve, because you're trying to get people to do things essentially differently than they've done them before, and it's human nature to hate change.
Well, it is. And, you know, as we have our COOs in the various agencies, that's their job. I was asked under the Bush administration to consider taking an agency on or taking over an agency. And when I did, in the discussions I was having with PPO, I said, I will, but I want to spend the first 18 months fixing the organization. And once we do that, we'll start going outside. It takes courage and effort because, as we know, change is hard. But we also know people want to get their jobs done. But we need a new way of doing things in order to create these systemic efficiencies in our government. Again, we like to look at, well, we just won't build that aircraft carrier this year. But if we can start creating a culture, an endemic culture in organizations of efficiency and effectiveness and transformation, then we really have an opportunity when budget tightness comes, we're already as efficient as we can be.
Steve Goodrich is president and CEO of the Center for Organizational Excellence Publishing in GovExec under the title Cutting Through the Red Tape. It's time to sweat the small stuff. You do have a broad range of stakeholders here, and there are folks who will say, wow, if we can find a more efficient way of doing things, I want to do that because I do want to meet the mission of the agency better. As I alluded to, there are some folks who will want to hold on to the status quo and say, no, we're doing this just fine and I don't want to have to learn a new procedure and so on. What are the ways that you've seen successful people navigate those? One of them, it seems, as you just alluded to, is just taking the time to let people know, you know, I'm not leaving in 18 months. I'm going to be around for a while and I'm serious about this being a new way that we're going to do business.
Well, I think you hit the nail on the head just a little while ago. Leadership is critical, and leadership that's not afraid to move in and do what's required interestingly enough, if you have good, strong leaders with good judgment and a good frame of reference, people will follow them, and they will be willing. You also have to get the people themselves, the employees themselves, involved in the change effort. When you do that, the lights start going on, and they start moving forward and see better ways of doing it. Right now, our government, as you know, is losing more people than they're hiring. We have to create these efficiencies, or things just won't get done.
I might suggest too, Steve, that involving those people as early on in the process is probably a winning way to make sure that they're engaged in the change management issue.
Oh, it absolutely is. And you know, in recent issues in the press, especially, for example, around the Veterans Administration and the issues with scheduling and all of that, it takes systemic leadership or aligned leadership throughout the organization. And that's a very behemoth organization. But the leaders out in the VISNs down at the lower level have to be fully aligned all the way up. And they have to have the courage and the willingness to make those changes.
Okay, when you mention the VA then and apply that prism to this, it strikes me that another thing that we'll consider is incentives. And there should be some kind of incentive structure demonstrated to the rank and file employee, the end user, as it were, to make sure that they understand when I get on board with this, I get an end result, I get a benefit of some sort, whatever that benefit can be.
Well, we know that we often talk about monetary benefits, and the research is very clear that when someone is given a bonus or a higher pay or some financial incentive, that the initial performance or increase in efficiency and improvement goes up, but it quickly comes down to previous levels. So we know money is not it. It's something that can be done, and everybody wants money, but it's not going to be a sustained motivator. We have to look at other ways that are important to people. People want to feel like they're making a contribution, that, you know, they're not filling out paperwork that just goes in a hopper and is never seen again. The politics, what I call political versus practical, the need to be practical and get things done and how we get things done. People are motivated by having other people around them that they consider viable experts and capable of doing their job. There's a number of things that actually really do motivate people to perform and do things better, and they're willing if we can surround them and show them a way. We don't want to have the standard pattern of rising to the level of mediocrity. We need to be shown a different way.
You're right. This is not a do more with less philosophy, and I'm happy to hear that because I'm not a big believer in do more with less. You're right. This is a do more right philosophy. That's a term that it sounds like you coined. What do you want that to mean?
I sit back every day at my desk in my office and say, what's the right thing to do in this situation? And I start with that. I may have to put overlays on top of it, such as budget constraints or the guidance from Congress or whatever it happens to be. But we start with what's the right thing to do. And now the second question is, what's the right way to do it? What resources do I need? Well, who has to be involved in the decision making? Not the example I gave in the article of a document taking 11 signatures in 4 months to get done, demonstrating that it cost the organization millions of dollars to go through that process when nobody beyond the first two signatories ever even looked at the document. So let's do what's right. We don't need 11 signatures.